What do you do when you know you should pray, but you don't feel like? Hello everyone, my name is Israel Ronald. These are some of the questions that we are going to answer in more. So we've been talking about the secret place for like a whole month, and today we want to bring it to a close with the questions that some of our friends, some of our listeners gave to us. So Trevor.
Yes, please.
You've had the first question. What do you do when you know you should pray, but you don't feel like it? Have you, like, as a person, have you experienced such?
Yeah, I haven't experienced it. Mm. But it was more of my, I call it my past times. Mm. My first season when I just began to know God. Mm. I'm just getting to understand these things of God, this relationship with God, just building the salvation, being stirred by these preachings in churches, these people who have already got to know him, and now they're telling me about him, how interesting he is. Mm. Now getting to fall in love with the stories of these people, that God is generous, hearing their interesting stories on YouTube, on Instagram, on Facebook, and also even in church itself, getting to hear about the stories and the testimonies of many people. Mm. They used to stare at me, but every time I try to also get this, I began to get a challenge with it. Mm. And yes, on my side, one of the challenges was because since I was a fresher, is it called a fresher?
Yeah.
Like when I've just joined the system, I was a fresher in this thing, and then I had not yet known the full indices. Mm. For this full intimacy with God. Mm. And so one of the significant was like, during that day I would find myself in very many things, obstructed and distracted, in movies, in games, in plays, in a lot of like worldly things. Mm. And then at night I'm like, God, I want to know, I want to pray. Now in my head I've said that I'm going to pray at night. Mm. And during that I'm watching a movie. So before I knew God, I used to watch movies. Mm. So I've come to know God, and now I've been told about this God, and now I've been told about this drawing close to him, getting to know him so much, and I've been motivated to understand God. Mm. But I've not been told the system that I need to set up, one of the things I must do in order to cultivate that intimacy with him. And so one of the side effects was that because of my always being on the side of the world too much, falling so much on the side, and then at night
distraction.
Distraction. And then tonight I'm like, let me go and I pray. That was one of my reasons why I happened to find myself lacking that I come to pray and I feel like I cannot pray. So that can be one of the reasons why you happen to find yourself in that state whereby you don't feel like you want to pray. Mm. How about you?
Well, thank you so much, Trevor, for the attempt. I agree with you. Mm. I agree with you. Sometimes we're too distracted. Mm. And then when we come to God, we are like, it's like we are pulling ropes. Mm. Because we've not like, you know, this thing is it's a two-way street. We need to also put in. Mm. But also what I can say is prayer is not a feeling.
Yeah.
Prayer is not a feeling. When you make it a feeling, you usually pray out of selfish ambitions and not out of intimacy or the will of God. Mm. Yeah. The other thing you could do, the other practical way you could do is maybe try listening to worship music. Mm. As you listen to this music, you'll be caught by maybe a phrase or two in this song. Mm. And those phrases or that line or that bridge or chorus will lead you, will stir in you a hunger and a desire. Mm. And a passion to pray. Mm. Yeah, do you have some other practical ways?
You have reminded me of something from the story I've given of my childhood as I was growing up in my state of salvation. Mm. With time, I got to realize something that was very crucial, that is also very important in terms of staying my life or my prayer life. Mm-hmm. And that is keeping the presence of God with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as a believer, besides I don't disagree with the idea my brother's given here of when you're reaching the place of putting on that music of gospel music to create the atmosphere. My best solution for you is that not only do you have to come and then tune on the gospel music, but even where you have come from, make sure you have that presence of God with you. Mm. If it is music that you can access at your workplace, then be playing it as you're there. Mm. Or maybe, as you said, that maybe now, how will they see me in their headphones? You have a phone. Mm. You can put on volume 1, as long as you can hear something. Mm. But make sure you have that atmosphere dependence. Mm. That thing that keeps the presence of the Holy Spirit, that you keep find yourself not having to grieve him. Because just imagine someone you made angry, and it is the same person that has to intercede for you before the Father. Mm. So the moment you keep your intimate with him, so even the grace of prayer is secured.
it is well said. I won't add anything to it. But also the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah the Lord asks, is in my word like a fire? So the word of God is a fire. Maybe the other last thing we could tell, could say is maybe try reading the word, try studying the word. That word would ignite like a fire, and that it will cause you to pray. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing, yes. Yeah, so Trevor, are you still there?
I am there.
Okay, another listener wrote in and said, I have a challenge, a very big one. I'm a Christian and I love God. Problem is, sometimes my mom tells me to do things I know I shouldn't be doing because the Bible condemns them. What do you advise? Actually, you better handle this question with care because you don't want to be jailed for it.
Yeah. Since the part you have started with care, let me also start with scripture.
All right.
Yeah, from Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 1 to 9. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eyes on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do. Very good. Whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them. Since you know that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. That is the word of God.
Yeah, indeed.
It begins with a very, 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 very interesting context of obeying, obedience. And so to that question, I will start with this. The question was...
should I read it again?
Yeah, you can help me record it.
Yeah, I'm a Christian I have a problem. Sometimes my mom tells me to do things I know I shouldn't be doing because the Bible condemns them.
Meaning, sometimes you do. It means obedience is not your problem.
Yeah.
But there's things he tells you to do.
Yeah, are the problem.
Are the problem. They are kind of contradicting to the master you serve, who is the Almighty. It leads me to a very powerful question from scriptures. Holy Spirit, take over my tongue. It says, whom should we fear the most? He who destroys the flesh alone, or he who destroys both.
Actually, let me read it. Let me read it for you. It's coming from the book of Luke chapter 12, verse 4 and 5, if I remember well. It says, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have nothing to do. But I will show you whom you shall fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. This was Jesus speaking.
Yeah. I believe that scripture has brought it even very more clear. It has kind of decreased my words as I was trying to phrase them for that question. Yeah, from that part of fearing, he who is greater and who can destroy both flesh and soul, it is also very important as you obey. Also be crucial about that part. And be conscious, on the other hand, of not denying Christ. Because you might want to obey and not knowing that you're denying him. Because it's also very important to be aware of that conscience. Because the scripture says that he would deny me before their parents, I will also deny them before my Father in heaven.
Yeah.
So as you're answering, be conscious on the... In fact, on three sides. The first side is obedience before your elders or authority you have been put in. And on the other hand as well, being obedient to the Lord your master, not denying him, or not finding yourself denying him because you're scared or feared of something. And the third one, also being careful on the decisions you make, not to stumble the others. Because at times they may say, if the Christian has done that, then I think I'm also a Christian in my way. Or I'm even a more Christian. Yeah. Because for him, he's obedient even after all. Yeah. And then for you, who says you're Christian, you have disobeyed your mother.
Mm.
Though the fundamental point on this matter is one.
Mm.
To fear he who destroys both the flesh and soul.
Mm.
So not everything they tell me to do,
mm.
I must do because I fear the mother.
Mm.
I must do because I fear he who called me.
Mm. Well, thank you. My take on this would be... We are not trying to say, you know, when the Bible was, when God was giving the Ten Commandments on obeying parents, the Bible did, God didn't say, obey your parents if they are Christians, or obey them when you understand. Eh? The command was general, children, obey your parents. And Paul re-echoed it. He said, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. That word has caught my attention. You know, I love studying the Bible. I usually don't read the Bible. You know, reading the Bible is, oh, for God so loved the world, then you continue. But me, I study.
Like a novel.
Yeah. I don't read it like a novel.
No, you read like a novel.
Oh, yeah. I try to study. Mm. So, when you're reading Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 6, this word in caught my attention.
Mm.
Paul is saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord.
Mm.
You understand? Honestly, the truth is, if I compare it to the scripture you gave us in Luke, if your parent is telling you to do something that contradicts the standards of the Bible, then it is obvious.
Obvious.
That kind of in fact, it's not disobedience.
Mm.
It's you standing up for your faith.
Mm.
You understand? It is you standing up for your faith and saying, no, I'm not going to fear man, King Nebuchadnezzar. I'm not going to bow down before your golden statue. I'm going to serve the God of heaven and earth because I know he has the authority to do with my soul. But these human beings, they have nothing to do afterwards. You understand?
Yeah.
That's my thing. But also, I realized when Paul was also speaking, he talked about, you know, it's like we are being tested. And because you are a Christian and maybe your parents are not, they're going to be monitoring the way you behave. You know, actions speak louder than words. So the way you treat them will determine whether they come to Christ or whether they deny him. So you also need to be very critical. Do it respectfully. Don't be like, oh, no, me, I'm a Christian. No, no, no. Talk to your mom. Tell your mom about it. If you can talk about it, do it respectfully. I think she will understand. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a powerful scripture the Holy Spirit has led me to.
Mm.
In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4, it says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. So on that point, I'm not going to share a lot from there because I was trying to implement on your point. So even as you are thinking about that part of resisting and trying to say, Mom, you know, on this one, I don't want to say it in a way of bad, like, but to be honest, like that part of resisting, if you haven't yet reached that state of shedding blood, then first way to qualify yourself to be a disciple of Christ.
Yeah. But also, trials like these, James says they come to strengthen, to test us. He says, rejoice when you face trials because they are producing in you a perseverance. You understand? So God is creating a character in you. God is trying to create a character in you. Allow that to grow. Allow that to grow. But also, when you compare your mom to God, honestly, we need to prioritize, and God can't take second place. He has to be first. I'll end it at that.
Arrest
my case.
Okay.
Yeah, the fourth question is, what do I do to strengthen my altar? It looks like I'm on and off.
What do you do to strengthen your altar? It looks like
it's on and off.
On and off. Very interesting, very interesting. From my point of view, I'll first bring it back to the lay of this world. Let me give an example. If I'm a student and I'm studying, I'm studying in, let me say, whatever class it is, but most especially high school. And then you are told to wake up early in the morning, you are told to read the radio books every day, you are told to research about some notes in certain categories.
To come in morning prayer.
Subjects and all that stuff.
Mm.
In most cases, you will realize that not everyone will do it.
Yeah, definitely.
Very good. Not everyone will do it.
You know, when I was in my school, when I was in my high school, I was one of those that wouldn't do it. I hated waking up early in the morning.
To be honest with me as well, it's not my really passion or really consistency in terms of commitment in doing such like those things, though I'm not against it. But what I'm trying to bring out, it is that whatever any person, anyone does, it is because of a vision they have towards whatever it is. So what motivates someone to do something is the same reason that causes them to do it. So when the moment you don't have a vision or passion to that something, you find yourself not doing it.
Definitely.
So if someone just wakes you up in the morning out of nowhere, just like a blank, and like wake up in the morning, go and do this and this and that, be like, okay, you can even make a promise that I'm coming, and you do not go there,
yeah,
and you can even go there, wake up in the morning and go to school and sleep,
yeah,
meaning you can happen to wake up and go to the place of prayer, and you do not pray,
yeah,
you get it? Why? You do not have a passion, you don't have that
burden, have a reason.
So the moment you have a reason, even when everyone is like, the teachers like wake up in the morning at 5 and come to read, and all these classmates are like, wow, for you will be like, you'll be silent, because it's not about what people say, it's about what you say. So the moment you have that voice that speaks into your spirit, that gives you a light to where you're going, that's what gives you direction. The moment you're running with blind people, much as you see them running off the track, you keep running on the track because you see.
Yeah.
But the moment you're blind, you also end up finding yourself at the wrong end. And so with that point, it leads me to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. It says, then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end. Very good.
Actually, other versions use like the exact word you used.
Vision, yeah.
Write down the vision.
Yeah, write down the vision, and it will not prove false. Though it linger, which means tarry, or wait, for it will certainly come to
pass.
And not delay. At the right time, the Lord works it out swiftly, but does not work it out of a blank or out of nowhere. It is out from a purpose or a vision. So the moment you find yourself having no reason to pray, just sit down and ask yourself, why do I pray? Begin to discover, why do you, like, what is your motive of prayer? What, is it because you at house they pray a lot? Maybe you have a friend of yours who prays a lot, and now they say you do not pray. Now, what is motivating you to pray? Let it be your first question. Before you start to say, I'm trying to pray and I'm not praying, ask yourself that very question. Sit down, give yourself, if it means hours of time, do not just choose an answer from nowhere. Do not borrow an answer from someone. Someone told you that, for me, I pray so that God may give me a car. Now you're also wanting to force yourself to pray that God may give you a car. No. Sit down, examine yourself. Ask the Lord to search your heart, to examine your thoughts, and give you the right answer you need, and show you a target, give you a light to your destiny, because you have seen from Scripture is something that is talking about your end. Vision is not something of today, it's of your end. That's why there's possibilities of its delaying. Either at the right time, it happens to come. So that's my point. That's my answer to that person. Let him set a vision before he starts praying, for that vision will drive him to pray.
Well, my take on that would be consistency. You know, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, that pray without ceasing. And we said earlier that prayer is not a feeling, right?
Yeah.
So if your altar is on and off, it means basically what you're trying to say is you pray today and tomorrow maybe you don't, then the other time you pray, then the other time you don't know. Don't wait for problems to lead you to the altar of God. Pray with or without challenges in your life, because that will help activate that altar. You know, like in the last episode, we say that Jesus didn't start praying when Judas betrayed him. Jesus had prayed for 30 plus years before Judas even ever came into his life. So we need to be consistent with our prayer altars.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually, I know it has been said that God is everywhere and God listens every time you call. That is true. God is everywhere. That is true. God is not caught up by time. That is true. But it is very wise and it is very wise for you that you set a time. Maybe you say at 3 a.m. in this place, I'm praying, and make it a habit to be there every time. You will find yourself that you reach a time and you don't even need to set an alarm. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes to that time, you are awake. Why? You have an appointment with God, and God honors that appointment. So, don't let it be. It shouldn't be a random thing. You pray to that five. You pray there. You understand? Make something consistent that even your brain will get to be aligned with that thing, and your brain will be aware that at such and such a time, in this room, we are in the presence of God. In that way, your altar will be on and burning.
Yeah, you've talked about burning, and you've brought me to another scripture here. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That race is where your vision is, and in that same running we see perseverance, which brings in that concept of consistency, that concept of pushing, that concept of sacrificing, that concept of commitment, that concept of passion. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let me stop there.
Yeah, I honestly hope we have answered you. Honestly, me as a person, I really love prayer. And I have marked times and places where I pray from. I know at such a time, even if you're the president, at that hour, my phone is in flight mode, so therefore you won't get to me. I'm somewhere and I'm praying to God. Why? I want to activate my altar. I want that time to be set. That time should be sacred, set apart for you and God. Amen?
Even Jesus had a place of prayer.
Yeah. Even Jesus had the Mountain of Olives.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. The last question says, you guys talked about seeking first the kingdom of God. In its simplicity, what does that mean?
Very good. You have brought the part of simplicity, and you are making me feel the question, it is kind of simple. Yet it is not. But okay. Seeking God first in its simplicity, how can we bring it in terms of application? I will start with the scripture in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. We see a lot in this scripture. We see a lot in the whole Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, we see a lot of wars, we see a lot of fights, we see a lot of good and bad things that happen there. Yet with everything there in the Bible, it's not just something from someone's mindset that woke up in the morning and was like, you know what, let us seek God first. Yet from scriptures, what confirms really that the scripture is from the Lord and indeed is the word of God. In the beginning, it says God. It does not say in the beginning water. It does not say in the beginning then formless. It starts by in the beginning God. What was it trying to open to us? It did not try to mean that everywhere you're going to read it's going to be God. In fact, there are some chapters where I read from the beginning to the end and don't hear the word God.
Yeah, the book of Esther.
Yet in the beginning God. Now, it was trying to bring out to us this principle, which is called the God first principle. Now, in this simplicity, what does it mean? Or how can we exercise it out? I would say it in this way, that you don't need to restrict yourself. You don't need to have to worry about these length prayers. That every time I wake up in the morning, I must pray for 5 hours, for 8 hours, for 1 hour, before I start that day. It may not be called for everyone according, or say depending on your burden. Maybe for you, your desires and passions are not much with God, and then for you more, it's more of this world, all professions, business, projects, and other stuff. Or maybe you're busy, and to mention but a few activities that maybe pull you away from, like you have not much time with God or with the sacred place. So one of my ideas I can give you are two. The first one, make God a priority. The second one, recognize God in everything you do. The first point, I will start with the first point. How can I make God my priority? I will give an example. You're a child, or you have a child. A child wakes up in the morning, and every day he leaves home without letting you know where he's going. He just wakes up in the morning. He doesn't know how he slept. Neither any good morning, daddy, or good morning, mommy, or whatever it is. He just jumps in the house and goes and comes back the time he wants without communicating to you. And then wherever you are, you even don't know where your child is. And then maybe tomorrow here your child got a problem. how will you react? Will you react so urgently that I knew, oh, your child calls you from somewhere that, mommy or daddy, I need help. I'm here, I'm stuck in this place. You'll also be worried, like, how did you reach there? Come on. You understand? So how can I exercise this God first principle in my daily life without making things complicated, without making things so hard? It's by letting God know where you are. Letting God know where you're going. Remember, the Bible says he encamps his angels around his children. So if really you're a child of God, then you must master your communication with God, your relationship with God, your interaction with God. If really he's your father, then he must know where you're going. If he really is your father, then he must know your people, your relationships, and how you go. He must know your job if you're working. He must know your education. I don't mean to say that it's obvious God sees I'm in S1. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is that how you're working out, how you're doing it in life there. The Bible says that the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, not just the praying, not just the but the fellowship. There must be a fellowship. Not just every time I have to pray, that's when I have to say, you have to pray in tongues and other stuff. You must have a fellowship, a communion with the Holy Spirit. Just like how you always keep in touch with a friend, even as far as you are, you can keep texting them on WhatsApp. Someone is in America, you are in Turkey, and yet someone knows that at this moment I'm in this place. How did he know that you're at this moment?
Communication.
Very good. So master your communication with the Lord, your relationship with God, your interaction. It doesn't, you don't need to be so close, so like, mommy, where you go is where you go. Then I'm fulfilling my principle of mommy first. No. Wherever you are, mommy can still be thinking about you as you think about them because of your relationship. Really, I have this child of mine. Before he left home, he let me know where he was going. He cooked for me this thing. He told me this thing. He had some time with me. Wake up in the morning, tell God about that dream. If he didn't have a dream, then tell God, I want you to speak to me something. Like a child wakes up in the morning and the mother blesses them. Tell God, bless me with something. Throughout this day, I'm going to travel through. I'm going to town. I'm going to workplace. Come and go with me. You surround your children with angels. I need you to surround me with angels. May they come and encamp me. You give your spirit to them that yield unto you. May you breathe your spirit unto me. That I may hear a voice from you, because the Holy Spirit searches from your heart and speaks unto me those mysteries. Holy Spirit. okay. Make him your priority.
Yeah.
Simple. And then the second one, recognize him in everything you do. Have a conscience of God in everything you do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, whether eating or drinking or doing anything else, do it for the glory of God. Now ask yourself, even as I'm doing this thing, even as I'm walking up with this group or this gang, even as I'm going to party, even as I'm going to play, where is God glorified in this? How is God benefited in this? Is it for the glory of the Lord, or am I grieving the Holy Spirit? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, the scripture says. So make sure whatever you're doing, do not be so strict that now I have to be ever reading the Bible.
like
a robot. That's why he gave us this free will gift. Actually, it is the best gift God has ever given us. Let me not go there. But otherwise, make sure, even in your enjoying your youth, as the scripture says, have it in mind that you account. Have it in mind. Yes. Have it in mind that the days we are in are evil. So I must be wise as I'm making decisions. Having a conscience of where is God benefiting this? How is God counting this? In case I'm found in trouble, how can God bail me out? When God knows where you are, even when you happen to fall into trouble, God already knows where you are. Already is aware. Not just, it's a must, God must know where I am. After all, he's omnipresent. No. But in terms of relationship, in terms of communing, in terms of conscience, both from yourself to him, there's an awareness that at this time, this person alerted me that I'm going to town. Now he has been robbed. He alerted me that he's going to town. Now they have been he has been kidnapped. He alerted me that he's going to town. Now he has faced an accident. Don't call that for granted. Don't say that it, again, God has forgotten me. God does never forget. The moment you alert him, he begins to put focus on you. Who am I to tell you that you're going to town? Many people wake up in the morning. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 20, some trust in chariots, others trust in horses. Yet you have trusted in me. What another person has just told another person, someone even does not tell their mother in the house. They tell someone outside their house that I'm going to town. And not their mother in the house. And they go to town. Now when they get a problem, this person who is outside their house, they are calling them. And that person is referring them to their mother. Now, just bring it to the conscious of the spirit when you alerted God.
Mm.
Even though you call your mother and your mother's like, I don't know how I can help you. Okay, the truth is I have money to get you to the hospital, but I can't heal you. I can't keep you alive. Mm. Trust me. If it means you to be alive, much as how damaged you may be, God will be there for you. He will set there his angels at your aid. Mm. But having this in conscious as well, that all things work for the good.
Mm.
So don't say, but I told God that I'm going here to give me his angels and now I've fallen into accident. No, all things work for the good. Though I leave these words, these two sentences with you.
Mm.
Prioritize God in everything you do.
Mm.
Make him your number one principle.
Mm.
Alert him about it.
Mm.
Set a communication. Master your communication with him. A bondage with him. Finally, be strong in him and in his mighty power before you begin to long and begin to fire for these armors of him.
Mm.
And then after, have a conscious of him in everything you do. Prioritizing him. Making him a number one thing as you're doing thing. Like, how is he glorified in it?
Mm.
Let me stop there.
Well, thank you so much, Trevor. By the way, I have a testimony.
Mm.
I remember back then when I read Matthew 6:33, from where this question came from.
Yeah.
The Bible clearly says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Mm.
Then all the other things will be added unto you.
Okay.
And by the way, these other things, they have been talked about. Jesus talks about food and how the clothing, how even Solomon in all his splendor couldn't afford to dress like these lilies of the field that are... They are on today and tomorrow they are baked in the oven, you understand?
Yeah.
And Jesus is saying, but above all those things, above the smartphone, above the clothing, above every other thing that you may have, seek first and most importantly the kingdom of God. And all these other things will be added unto you. And this scripture changed the way I prayed. You know, sometimes we come to God and in need, we are in need. We have different needs. But when you prioritize God and your prayers are not selfish, you're not thinking about yourself. It is you and God. Those things find their ways to you. God finds a way of bringing things to you. Because sometimes I come to pray. Maybe I have this need. Then I find myself worshiping. I find myself repenting. I find myself praying about kingdom business. And sometimes I even forget to pray for that thing that brought me into the prayer room. But as I'm walking out, maybe receive a phone call. And the thing you wanted to pray about has been answered minus you telling the Lord about it. Why? The Bible says he knows the things we need before we even make mention of them. So, like Trevor said, let it be the kingdom first. Prioritize God.
Very well. Mm-hmm. In Psalms chapter 24, verse 1, says, this world and all in it are my belongings, declares the Lord.
Mm.
In Jeremiah 32, verse 27, he tells us that I am the God of all living, the God of all human race.
Mm.
Is there anything too hard for me to do?
Mm.
And then in Haggai, chapter 2, verse 8, he tells us that the silvers and the golds are mine.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8, he tells us, he who gives poverty and he who sends poverty and wealth to men, who raises the poor from the dust and the needy from the ash heap and set them with princes and make them inherit honor.
Mm.
So that same God I've described in different scriptures is the same God that tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, to ask that we shall receive, to seek and that we shall find, and knock and that the door shall be opened unto us. Not to seek after those things that we are craving for, but to seek after him. Because it is from him that we receive all, for he is the author of them all, much as it was given unto earth, and the heavens belong to him. Still, we must get authority. We must get a blueprint from him that we have received the ownership of them, because there is a difference in between a servant and a child.
Definitely.
In the kingdom of God.
Definitely.
Thank you.
I think it can't get any clearer than this. Friends, if you found this episode very useful, please consider subscribing to our YouTube channel. And actually, there is a question that we are not going to answer today because the question requires a full episode of its own. Someone is asking, Jingo is asking, can you guys talk more about taking up the cross and following Christ and how that is practical in our day? Jingo, thank you so much for this precious question. Truth is, we can't tamper with this question right now because it requires more time than we actually have. But in the next episode, we are going to address this question before we go into the next season. Because we are going to begin another series. Honestly, this series is very long. Trevor and I were discussing earlier and we were saying we could could do the whole year on this secret one place. Yeah, topic of the secret place, but we're not going to do that. We don't want to bore you with this thing. We want to move on to something different. But feel free to like write to us, israel.walkthetalk@gmail.com. Email us your question, and we'll be able to answer you on or off air. We'll be very glad. But like I said earlier, if you find this thing very useful, be sure to subscribe, give us a comment, give us a like, tell a friend about it, and let's grow together. Yeah, what?
Yeah, even though you have any question, you can continue to ask.
Yeah.
We shall also be honored.
We shall be honored to answer your questions.
And be challenged with the one we may have not got an answer yet.
Yeah, some of these gave us a heart attack, but thank God.
It gives us also time to search through the scriptures again and revise ourselves.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, all right, friends. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Bless you too.